We love the Word. Well, go with me to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Before we get started, remember, this is the third message. We're already in a series on the subject of honor, and we'll show you in a second why honor is important. But remember, last week, we started this series, I started it in Olean on Saturday nights, and remember I said last week that, last week was part two of the series, and I started in Olean, was just going to follow the same order. But in Olean, after I preached the second service, I mentioned what I was going to preach the third week, which would be have been the third week here as well. And the Lord said, no, you need to share what you were going to preach the third week in South Dayton last week. Remember I said that? And Kim Lai was at that service and been to both places, so she can attest to that. And so last week we preached here what I preached in Olean last night. And so what I preached in Olean last week, I'm preaching today. Now what's interesting about it is for the Holy Spirit to do that, either someone specifically needed to hear the message last week, or someone specifically needs to hear the message this week. Either way, the Holy Ghost had this working a few weeks ago. And so let's go ahead and pray and believe God. Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful and so thankful for the Word. We praise and magnify you. We thank you for all that you've given us. Father, we don't claim to be anybody. In fact, Father, we're just branches in the vine. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So help us this morning. Lord, I pray that people's hearts would be open to receive the Word of God, that you'd open the eyes of their understanding, Father, that they would see the Word clearly. And Father, we thank you you're going to hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Why? Because you do it every time. Because, Father, I endeavor to hear from heaven, not speak my own theories, my own ideas, my own opinions, philosophies, or thoughts. But, Father, what are you saying? What do you want to say to the church? So, Father, I thank you you'll speak through me. I thank you that every single person here, Lord, even though they're going through different things, facing different things, different circumstances, situations, problems, trials, tribulations, Father, I'm going to say something that's going to be specific to the season that they're in. And that's going to be a word to them from heaven to help get them over the top, to help get them to the next level of glory. And Father, when that happens, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, Jesus went out from there and came unto his own country. His disciples follow him, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So he's in his own country. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from where is this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said, I mean, if they could be offended at Jesus, they could be offended at anybody. Amen. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. So the Bible says in verse 5, go on, and he could there do no mighty work. Not that he wouldn't do a mighty work or didn't want to do a mighty work. Jesus' hands were tied and could not do a mighty work there, except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, if you know anything about the Word, in the chapter before, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus healed the woman, the Jairus' daughter, who had been dead. He raised her from the dead. Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, and then he came over here to Mark chapter 6. Well, Jesus didn't change from Mark chapter 5 to Mark chapter 6. God didn't change from Mark chapter 5 to Mark chapter 6. But the audience did. And the Bible says he couldn't do a mighty work there. Yet in Mark chapter 5, he was doing mighty works. What was the difference? The people. Well, he went on in verse 6 and said, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. So their dishonor towards the Lord led to their unbelief, which led to their unreceiving. Amen. We see that in the Word. They had an honor problem. What was their problem? They didn't honor what Jesus had on his life. And they didn't honor the fact that Jesus had something on his life specifically for them. Oh, he's just normal. Oh, he's just average. Oh, he's nobody to us. Oh, he's just, we can do this on our own. Well, they didn't get from God, did they? Now go to 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. These are our key scriptures for this series, trying to show you what honor, how important it is, why we're teaching on it. Pastor wants you to receive from God. That's why it's important. Hallelujah. We see that a group of people, because of their dishonor, failed to receive from God. That will not be Family Church South Dayton. We will be honorable people towards the things of God and towards what God has said and towards His Word and the way that God does things. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and your house of your father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Well, what does it mean to honor Him? It means to honor all that He is. His Word, His ways, His will, how He does things on the earth is Him. His plans, His purposes, His thoughts. To highly esteem them is to receive them, to believe in them, and to walk those things out. Dishonor, Jesus was the will of God. Jesus was the plan of God for those people, right? And what did they do? They didn't receive Jesus. They didn't want what Jesus had. And guess what? They missed out. They didn't have honor on their life. They didn't honor God. They didn't get honored. And so we've been talking about honor. And we said the very first week, I'm just going to do fast review. We said that if, now this all hinged on the big fat word if, because if you can't prove it by the Bible, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I don't care what they're saying in TV, on the internet, I don't care what they're saying in preachers, I don't care what this church is saying, it doesn't matter if it's not in the Bible. Amen? But we said if the pastor is sent to people with an anointing and a gift on his life to help get you to where you need to be. And if the Bible says you absolutely need a pastor and need to receive from a pastor, now if the Bible says this, then we have to be careful that we don't do to Jesus or do to the pastor or do to the ministry gifts on the earth what they did to Jesus. Well, we saw that we need a pastor, didn't we see that? We saw in Ephesians chapter 4, we're not going to take time to go there. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says God gave gifts unto men. We saw that, didn't we? God gave gifts unto men. But then we saw what those gifts are. One of those gifts was a pastor. And we saw in verse 11 and verse 12, it said that He gave those gifts, now listen, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means the furnishing and the full equipping of the saints. God said, you need a shepherd in your life if you want to be fully equipped and fully furnished. Imagine the hockey player, the goalie that shows up on the ice, and he's the goalie for the team, and all he brings is a stick. Doesn't bring his mask, doesn't bring his pads. He's unfurnished. He's not fully equipped. Well, he's got hockey pucks flying at him 100 miles an hour. It's going to hurt his life, isn't it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says you got fiery darts of the wicked being thrown at you. And people think, I don't need a shepherd. Well, then you know more than Jesus. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, He said, when you don't have a shepherd, He said, your life is faint, scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered, and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you don't have a shepherd, your life will look like that. It's amazing how little honor people have towards the way God does things. Why? I hear it all the time. I don't need Him. I don't need a shepherd. I can do this on my own. Who's He to tell me? What's so big about Him? I have my Bible. I have my Jesus. Well, then you must know then you're more than your Bible and your Jesus, because your Bible and your Jesus say you need a shepherd. Or you won't be fully perfected. You won't be fully equipped. Doesn't mean you can't have a relationship with God. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But you'll never be fully equipped. You'll never be fully perfected. That's the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Either accept the Word or don't. We better make up our minds around here. If you don't like the Bible, you won't like this church. Because I will not stray away from the Word of God. And the Word will get up in your face. The Word will pet your fur sideways and mow your grass backwards. It'll do all sorts of things to you. Make up your mind. If you don't want the Word, don't come back here. Because I ain't leaving the Word. No way. Changed my stinking life. Hallelujah. Well, that's what Jesus said, and then we went on. So we said, okay, if God's given us a shepherd, well, what's the shepherd's main job? We saw in the Word, the shepherd's main job is to feed. Well, if the shepherd's main job is to feed, guess what's the sheep's main job? To eat. To be where God has them. If God calls you to a shepherd, and the shepherd has in his heart, we need to have church Wednesdays and Sundays, that's feeding times, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Praise God. God's doling out feeding to you. You say, I don't want to do that. Well, you're just no more than Jesus, because He said you need to be fed. That's what He said. Hallelujah. We're a lot of rogue people in the body of Christ. I do it my own way, do it my own way. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, then we saw even last week, we really swiped it clean last week, because we saw a topic that, because we're talking about honor, because what happens is when people don't have honor, They end up getting offended. They end up getting rubbed the wrong way. And if they just had honor, it would fix a lot of these problems. Amen. We saw last week that the Bible talks about, we talked about the money in the minister. And we saw that the world's view is keep the minister poor. We don't mind the rock star having the nice cars and the big homes. We don't mind the rock star having a private plane and the movie star having that. But when the minister has something nice, oh man. Oh, people get fired up, mad. Why does he have that? Why does he need that big of a house? Why does he have that vehicle? Why him? Why him? Why him? Well, go to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, and I'll show you. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. We saw that the Bible... let me just say something real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize God doesn't have a problem with money? You do realize God doesn't... In my Father's house are many... What? Wait, what'd you say? Mansions? Oh, how dare him! Well, what do you need a mansion for? In my Father's house are many mansions. He paves the streets with... Why does he need to do that? Because he's a prosperity God. That's why he needs to do it. And if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with your God. You're not going to like heaven very much. Don't you dare complain about what people have down here on earth and go up there and walk into your mansion. Don't do it. No. If you have a problem with it down here, people living in and what they have, you're going to have a problem with it up there. Amen. And we saw that the Bible says God has no problem with money. The guy that he called, right, was Abraham. He called Abraham to cut covenant with him. And he said, Abraham, I want to run this covenant through you. Well, what was Abraham, the Bible said? Very rich, cattle, silver, and gold. God didn't look at him and say, you got to get rid of all that money first, Abraham. No, he called him. See why? God doesn't have a problem with money if money doesn't have you. Why would God have a problem with money? He's a prosperity God. He dwells in prosperity. He dwells in richness. He dwells in peace. Praise God. What about Job, ladies and gentlemen? When the Bible says that the devil came and stole from Job, didn't that happen? Bible says the devil took from Job. Well, the Bible says that Job was the richest man of the land. So when God came and gave him back money, we get a perfect indicator of what God thinks about money. God could have said, you know, Job, you have nothing now, and that money was a problem before, so I'm only going to restore you back 5% of what you had. Nope. I'm going to just get you back to 2%, Job, because I don't want that money thing being a problem. Nope. God not only made him the richest man in the world again, but he doubled what he previously had. Your God did that. Your God did that. Well, we need to renew our minds. Why do we say this about honor? Because do not be upset with me when I keep increasing. Because the Bible says the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. And the Bible says they that seek first the kingdom of God, things will be added to them. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 20, a faithful man will abound in blessings. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be as faithful as they come. I'm not straying from the Bible. I'm not straying from the will of God. Ain't no devil, ain't no person going to turn me away from God. And it's going to cause me to keep being blessed. But if that bothers you, you better watch out and get your mind renewed, because I will continue to be blessed just the same way you would. Amen. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. The faithful man abounds in blessing. The ones that seek first the kingdom of God are added to. It's not just the ministers. But I'm making a declaration. I'm not straying away from God, and I will be blessed naturally. And if you have a problem with that, it's going to cause you to be offended at me. It's going to cause you to be offended. A minister comes in and they talk about how they got here on their private plane, or they walk in with their nice suit, or they talk about something about their home gets mentioned, and you get offended by that. God don't have a problem with that. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. When you sow seed, you sow a $10 bill, you want a harvest on that. When a farmer sows a 10 seeds in the ground, he wants a harvest on those 10 seeds. When he sows 10 acres of seed, he wants a harvest on 10 acres. When he sows 100 acres, he wants a harvest on 100 acres. Well, what about the minister who you have no idea what they're giving, what they're sacrificing? Thousands of dollars, time, energy, giving their life for the kingdom. That's all seed going into the ground that produces a harvest. Don't ever look at a person and say, why do they got that? You don't know what they sowed. Just as much as you want your harvest on your $100 bill, why shouldn't they get their harvest on their $100,000 they sowed? Why shouldn't they get their harvest on their $1 million they sowed? Oh, because it trips us up. It doesn't trip God up. God made Job the double Bill Gates of the world. God made Job the double Warren Buffett of the world. God made him that way. Because he doesn't have a problem with it. We do. We have heart problems that we need to get fixed. Well, let's not, don't take my word for it. Go to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 says this. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in word and doctrine. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Go back to 17, God's view, man's view. Man's view is, oh, minister has something nice, let's all talk behind his back. Oh, we see a minister having a mansion, let's all say something. Oh, we see a minister having an airplane, let's do an expose on 2020. Yet God says the ones that labor in word and doctrine, they're worthy to be paid double. Yeah. Amen. That's what the word says. Praise God. That's what the Bible says, worthy of double honor. Doesn't mean that everybody gets paid double honor, but they're worthy of it. Praise God. So we saw that. We also saw in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 that we have a responsibility to sow into people that teach us the word, don't we? We saw that. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, communicate or share with the one that teaches you. Praise God. I said, don't worry about me, but those ministers that come in here, praise God, we're going to be a blessing to them. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be honorable. We're going to sow into them. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Go back and, if you have a problem with money, go back and listen to last week's sermon and then just decide, do I want the word, don't want the word, it's up to you. But let's go on. Go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Praise the Lord. You know the devil's a big mouth. Some will be a bigger mouth. Amen. The devil's a loud mouth, some will be a louder mouth. Praise God. He's going to shout wrong things, I'm going to shout right things. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now this is why I want you to see this. Because where we're going today, if you don't keep your mind in the Word and be humble to receive the Word, today's message will rub you the wrong way. But you need to know something. The Bible says all Scripture, even the one that's unpopular to you, even the one that doesn't go down as easy as some of the other stuff, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, oh, we don't like that, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God, women included, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything in the Bible, whether you like it, don't like it, is for your benefit. Whether it corrects you, whether it steps on your toes, whether it's good to your ears, it's good for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll tell you where we're going today. And again, we're talking about honor. So many situations in this church and over the years I've seen the body of Christ that have taken people out all went back to the root of a lack of honor. Just a lack of honor. That's all it is. Lack of honor towards the way God does things. You know, the one of the opposites of honor would be pride. So many prideful people. I'd do it my way. Who's going to tell me anything? That's pride, man. Pride comes before the fall. That's what the word says. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves. Actually, go back to verse 6, because now that I said that, it just seems good to say this. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud. He doesn't just not like the proud, he resists the proud. What's the proud? The proud is someone that says, I don't need the word, I'll do it my own way. I don't need the Bible, I'll just do this my own way. You can say what you want up there. See, it isn't me up here saying things. If I'm preaching the Bible, I'm just mocking or imitating what the word is saying. You have it all wrong. When you don't like what I'm saying, when I only speak the word, you don't like what Jesus is saying. It's not that you don't let, you might take it out on me, but I'm just copying what Jesus is saying. You take it up with him. Amen. It's the truth. Proud. He said, I'll resist you. You want God to resist you in life? Be a pride bag. Be someone that's a pride bag. God will set himself up against you like an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. They resist one another. Yeah, I don't want God doing that to me. Verse 7, submit yourselves. Therefore to God. Now look at that word, submit. Do you see that word, submit? Submit means to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. So the Bible says to submit to God. There are a few words in church you don't want to use too much because they're very dirty. Holy is a dirty word. Obedience is a dirty word in church. Submission, oh man, we just really cursed in church now. He says, submit to God. You know, in those MMA fighting, the goal is they try to either knock someone out or get them into a submission hold. Well, when you get them into a submission hold, that person can't do anything. You could tell that person to start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and they're going to start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Amen? You get them in the right submission hold, you can start telling them, say, hey, tell me I'm the most wonderful person in the world. Guess what they're going to do? Tell you that you're the most wonderful person in the world, or their arm's going to break, or their leg's going to break, or they're going to pass out. One of the three. Amen? It's just the truth. That's what submission is, yielding to the higher power. Now, he says submit to God. That would mean submitting to all that is God, all that God's ways are, all that God has in His Word, all that God's will is. So let's look at something. Are you ready now? Remember, the Word is given, all the Bible is given by God. Amen? So when I preach this morning, you can't walk out of here angry at me, because this is what the Bible says. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Oh man, we're about to stir it up in here. Why? Because there's been an honor problem in this church for a long time, and partly it's my fault because I don't teach on it. But I'm going to start teaching on it. I'm not going to shy away from everything in the Bible. I have to be like Jesus. He just preached the truth. If people didn't like it, he didn't care. You know what he said? He told the disciples, he said, if they won't receive you, he said, don't sit there and beg them. Don't sit there and try to coerce them to like the Word. He said, shake the dust off your feet and leave their house. He didn't give a rip. He didn't give a rip. When the whole congregation left him, you know what he said to Peter? You going too? He didn't care. He didn't care. He was the truth. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. James, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you. Also, somebody has a rule over us. Who is the one that has the rule over us? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith you follow, considering the end of their conversation or behavior of their life. So the Bible says to remember those that have the rule over you. Who are the ones that have the rule over you? The ones that speak the word unto you. Amen. Did I say that, or did the Bible say that? The Bible. Now go to verse 17. Here we go. Obey them that have the rule over you. Well, who has the rule over you? The one that's spoken the word of God. That's what verse 7 said. And, oh, he didn't stop there. Submit yourselves. Do you see that? He said that those people that are placed in your life, now this is the Bible. He said those people that are placed in your life to speak the word to you, God's will is that you obey and submit to them. Oh, it got quiet. Don't get quiet on me now. Keep this thing going, praise God. Now, like with any subject, there's a middle of the road and there's a ditch on either side. The ditch on one side is don't talk about honor. The ditch on the other side is, hey, let's raise up a man. Let's have hero worship. Let's just have blind followers of Pastor Mike Anderson or whoever you're being taught the word. That's the ditch. That's how cults get started, and that's how people start drinking the Kool-Aid. But if we can keep everything with the Bible, then you have a decision to say, that's in there. I got to be a doer of the word. Amen? So we're going to talk about this obeying and submitting, because even that topic, even though it's in the Bible, people have run with that in the ditch and have manipulated people and have hurt people, taking their position as someone that preaches the word and manipulating and twisting it and taking advantage of people. And we don't want to do that around here. Amen? But we'll just, how do I know I don't want you to do that, Pastor Mike? If I stick with the Bible and show you the word, that's your safety net. When I start giving you my opinions and my theories and what I think you about things, that's when it's dangerous. But if it's in the word, you accept it. Praise God. So now look at this. He says to obey them that have the rule over you. Who's that? Verse 7 told us. Who speak the word of God to you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. You have no idea. Look at the rest, as they must give account. Do you realize I have to stand before Jesus and give an account for every single one of you? Amen. Amen. Oh, I'd like your job, Pastor Mike. No, you wouldn't. I'll tell you what, if I wasn't called to this, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it for a second. I'm telling you, I'd get out of this so fast. It's the craziest thing in the world, this at times. People love you one day, hate you the next, hate you one day, love you the next. It's crazy. People tell you how great the word is, how wonderful this is. Then the next day, it's like, what in the world happened? And I tell you, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it. You see, you deal with people thing in their life, they're hurt in their life and things. You hear and see things. I wouldn't want it, but thank God for the grace. But he says that they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So he says to obey and submit to the ones that give you the word in a way that brings joy unto me. Not somebody. How many of you know you can obey and you can submit with a terrible attitude and making sure, like, for example, Caleb, go clean your room. Oh, fine. Well, he obeyed and went and cleaned his room, but not a good attitude. He didn't bring me joy by doing that. Caleb, go clean your room. Yes, Dad. Going and do it. That brings me joy. That's him obeying and submitting, bringing me joy. Hallelujah. So now let's look at the word here. So why are we preaching on this today? Well, it's the Holy Ghost said, but also because people come into the church with opinions, strong feelings, strong thoughts on things, and when their opinions and feelings and strong thoughts don't get to manifest here, oh, they get offended, they get mad, they get angry. Why are they doing it that way? Why are they doing it this way? Well, it just all comes down to a lack of honor. So I want to help you here this morning. What are we talking about in honoring, obeying, and submitting to the pastor in the local church? Well, it's important for you to know. You can write these references down. We don't have time to go there. In Acts 20 and verse 28, it calls the shepherd the overseer. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it calls the shepherd the overseer of the church. What does that mean? The shepherd is the one that oversees or is in charge at the local church. Now, what's amazing to me is that this seems to be one of the only places where people have problems with authority. You want your kids to obey their teachers and their principals in school. When you're at your job, you have to obey the owner. And that when you have a family, you want your kids to obey and submit to you. When you have a business, you want your employees to obey and submit to you. But in the church, you mentioned that the pastor's the overseer and that people are to obey and submit the pastor. Oh, what's he saying? What's he doing up there? Lack of honor towards the things of God. Now, let me say this also, though. 1 Peter 5 says I'm to be the overseer, but I'm not to lord over people's lives. What does that mean? There's a context of where you are to obey and submit to me. I don't care. You don't need my permission of who you marry. Don't call me and say, Pastor, should I have tacos or spaghetti tonight? The Bible says I'm to submit and obey you. No, I'm not going to get in there. Hey, you can't go on vacation here. You can't go do this. That would be lording over your life. But spiritual matters in the house of God, the Bible instructs you to obey and submit. That's what the word says. Again, not lording over your life, but in the context of the church. And again, it's just amazing to me how the house of God gets less honor. The house of God gets less honor. And I'll say this because I know it by fact. I don't know which church it was, South Dayton or Olean. But you know who you are, whoever you are. Lord didn't show me. But when I mentioned the parking lot would be $31,500, that rubbed some people the wrong way. How do I know? The Lord showed me in a word of knowledge. You don't have a problem when you see Signature Paving and Lakeshore Paving down at Walmart. You don't. But when it comes to the house of God, well, they got to use that money for that. That money could be used for the poor. Sounds like Judas. That's exactly what Judas said. Why can't the house of God be nice and the poor be blessed? Oh, I know why. Because you have a very small view of how big your God is. You have a poverty mindset. You think it's got to be one or the other. No. Not with God. Do you realize, let me just say this, this will make you real happy. Do you know the temple that Solomon built in today's economy would cost over $150 billion dollars? The temple that God instructed them to build. Billions of dollars. Yeah. Go look it up. The temple that Moses in Exodus, over there in Exodus chapter 38, over $54 million to build that thing. The gold and the silver and the fine jewels that they used for that place. Oh, come on. Can you imagine if we had a $1 billion building? Oh, the town would be talking. Oh, we'd be on the news for the house of God. It's crazy. And that's what I'm talking about. When it comes to honor, oh yeah, I got to obey my boss. I have to submit to my boss. Oh yeah, I have a business. I want my employees. Oh yeah, I have children. No one's coming into my home and telling me how to raise my kids. But yet in the house of God, oh, everybody wants to say. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Rogue Christians. dishonorable Christians. Praise God. Well, isn't it interesting? Why didn't we preach this message last week? I don't know. But he told me to preach it this week. Hallelujah. Got that Saturday night. So let's look at this now. I had to learn this. What does that mean, to obey and submit? Well, I got to learn this the hard way on my flesh. My best friend from fourth grade became the pastor of the Jamestown Family Church. Well, I remember Pastor Michael started the Jamestown Family Church. And he was there for a couple of years. And that was, he's my pastor. And he called us up to his meeting at his house when he lived in Brockton. Well, in between Brockton and Fredonia. Portville, I guess it was. And had a meeting with us all, and about knocked me out. He said, I just want to let you know, Pastor Tim's taking over the church. Man, I'll tell you what. I had a hard time with that. I thought, well, I'm just going to go run to Pastor Michael. But the Spirit of God said, no, you're not. You're going to stay at Jamestown and help him. So my best friend became my shepherd. My best friend became the person that the very Bible said I have to obey and submit to. And if you know anything about best friends since fourth grade, we thumped each other so much. We make fun of each other so much. We prank each other so much. And now the Bible says I have to obey and submit to him. Amen. If I want to be blessed, I got to do the word. And so then the Lord calls me to be a pastor. And I start by being the associate pastor there under him. So now not only is he my shepherd, he's my boss. Well, the Bible talks about honoring those that are over you. Amen. Or are you the type of person you badmouth your boss? Oh, yeah, let's dig in a little bit. Are you the type of person that goes around to other coworkers, yippity-yap, yap, 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 yap? Are you? You're dishonorable if you are. Amen. Are you the one that why does he do it that way? Dishonor. Well, I don't like this, and you don't like honor then. Do you do realize the Bible says they that love the word, nothing will offend them? That's what it says over there in Psalms 163, I believe it is. They that love his word, nothing will offend them. When you get offended, you're not a lover of God's word. Ouch! Sorry, Cindy. Scared you back there. I saw her jump. Praise the Lord. Mean to scare you. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Just dealing with things in the spirit. Dealing with wrong thinking. Dealing with wrong ideas. Praise God. I love the word. I love the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to find that for you. I said over there in Psalms 160, there ain't even a Psalms 160. That shows how much your pastor knows. Praise God. Where is that verse? Love the word. Nothing. I'll find that verse for you. There it is. I knew there was a 60 in there somewhere. It's Psalms 119, verse 165. There ain't no chapter 165. See, you got to check what your pastor's up here saying. My goodness, you never know. Psalms 119, verse 165. This is the Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law. What's his law? His word. And nothing shall offend them. The ones that love the word. So is it a stretch to say if you're offended, you're not a true lover of the word? Nope. That's what the Bible says. That's what the word says. So I had to go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 17. So I had to learn this the hard way. He's now my boss and he's my shepherd. Well, that means when I used to give him opinions about his life, I don't give opinions anymore. It's so funny this morning. You know it's right to teach your kids honor. And a lot of times in homes, parents allow children to, it's like you want to shake the parent and say, be the parent. Well, my kids don't want to do that. What's that mean? Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. This morning, Caleb was getting ready to put his tie on and he had to brush his teeth. And she, his mother, said, you come over here. We're going to brush your teeth. He wasn't listening. He said, come over and brush your teeth. He got all mad and said, but I wanted to put my tie on first. And I pointed at him. I said, you might want to shut your mouth right now. You do not talk to your mother that way. Look like a ghost hit him, right? So I'll go. I said, you do not talk to your mother this way. And just so you know, Caleb, it doesn't matter what you want in this house. Until the day you move out into your own place, your opinions mean nothing. Amen. 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 Oh, that's harsh, Pastor Mike. No, that's teaching your kid honor. Amen. He doesn't have a place to speak up and give his opinions and to give what he wants. If mom says what she wants, it trumps everything that he wants. Amen. That's called teaching your kid honor. I'm not going to let that stuff go. Well, think about it in the local church. The Bible says to obey and submit. Well, I don't like how pastor does that. I don't like that. Pastor puts people in charge of ushering. Pastor puts people in charge of the sound. Pastor puts people in charge of the nursery. I don't like how they do things. Who asked for your opinion? Nobody did. You weren't put in charge. You were, in fact, called here to submit and obey to what's going on in this house. And if that bothers you, you have an honor problem. You don't have a problem honoring and obeying your boss when he tells you to do something. Your boss isn't looking for you to give him your opinions all the time. Now, if he asks, there's an honorable way to give it. Come on now. Well, I know more than Heather in the sound. I know more than Mary Jo doing kids. I know more than Children's Church. I know more than Jeff. I can do... Doesn't matter what you know. Doesn't matter what you think. Nobody asked you. Amen. But if you had a business, those of you that are offended right now, if you had a business, you wouldn't let any old Joe Schmo come in and say, you don't need to run it this way. You should be doing it. Can you imagine someone coming into your gun shop? Oh, why aren't you doing this and doing that? You need to be selling this. You ain't going to have it. Someone going over to Walker's and telling them, oh, you can't do it this way and do it this way. They're going to say, we're in charge here. But when it comes to the church, oh, we got to be, walk on eggshells. Walk on eggshells. It's garbage. It's called dishonor. You say, I don't agree. It doesn't matter if you agree or not. Now, we're talking about in context of the word and morality, right? If the pastor or one of the people in charge start getting immoral or outside the boundaries of the Bible, absolutely, speak up. But even when you speak up, there's an honorable way to do it. Come in and air your grievances and let people know how you feel. Dishonor. You do realize David was called to be king years before it ever manifested. And God called him to serve Saul, who became an unjust king. And Saul would throw spears at David. An unjust king ruling over the one that's going to be king, and David never raised his voice. David never made it known how he felt. He didn't put it on Facebook. He didn't get on the horn and call everybody. In fact, when he had Saul, when he could have killed him, he said he cut a little piece of his robe off, and his heart was smote because he lifted his hand against God's anointed. Amen. I know more. Well, the Bible says promotion neither comes from the east or west, but it comes from God. Amen. What does that mean? Do your part. Be faithful. God will see it and God will promote you. Amen? Amen. Prideful people want to get their say in. And that's not obeying and submitting. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had to learn that the hard way. Pastor Tim would do things. I thought to myself, what in the world? Why are you doing it this way? But guess what? It's not my opinion to tell him why, how he should do it and how he's doing it wrong. I'm obeying and submitting him. My job is to pray for him. My job is to love him. And my job is to support his vision, whether I agree with his vision or don't agree with his vision. That's obeying and submitting, people. It just is. A lot of people with honor problems don't like hearing this kind of stuff, but it's the truth. Obeying, submitting. Let's talk about obeying and submitting in a local church. What about when pastor says, hey, we need help in the nursery. We need help ushering. We need help with this. And nobody jumps. I'm just saying when that happens, when nobody jumps to do anything. Well, pastor saying we need help, obeying and submitting as a servant, which Jesus said you are, and you're supposed to help in the ministry, would be jumping up saying, here am I, pastor, use me. But people, again, are on their own program. I don't want to do nursery. I don't want to usher. I don't want to have to sing. I don't want to do the book table. I don't want to. I don't want to clean. When were you asked what you wanted? When did God say to you? Did God say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, come here, buddy. Come here. Pet him. Do you want to go to the cross? Oh, you don't. Because Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. The Bible said what? That he asked the Lord, can I get out of it? And then he said, but not my will, your will. Oh, you want to not go? Yo, you don't want to go on the cross? Okay, Jesus. Whatever you want. God said to serve. God said to obey and submit. Doesn't matter if you want to or not. Come on. We're either going to have an honorable church around here or we're not going to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, this is the craziest thing. I was over in that building. I'll have to give you an example about submitting and obeying. We're over in that building in the storefront that's over there. For those of you who don't know, that's what I'm pointing at, the storefront over there. And there was a lady and another person that would come in the church for, oh, they were there about 2 to 3 months. And they asked if they could meet me after church. I said, absolutely. I didn't know what it was about. They called this meeting. They'd been faithful for about 3 months, I think it was. They said, Pastor, we just want you to know you are our shepherd from heaven. I said to them when they said, I said, remember you said that. And I chuckled. I said, remember. They thought, why? I said, because the devil's going to try to divide you. But now here's my point. You're my pastor. It wasn't 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. I'm walking my yellow labs before I had my black lab. I'm walking her, and it's the person that just got done telling me 3 weeks earlier, you're my shepherd from God. We're not going anywhere. God's blessing us here like we've never been blessed. We never heard the word like you preach. That's what they were saying. That's what they said. I didn't say it. Hey, pastor, why don't you have a youth group? I said, because God didn't tell me to have a youth group. Well, I think, and there it is, oh, that's the problem. Well, I think if you really love this community, you'd have a youth group and do something for these kids. I said, God didn't tell me to do it. Yeah. Well, I think, and she went on and on and on and on and on and giving me her opinion. And ladies and gentlemen, I got off the phone saying, listen, I am not going to have a youth group until God Almighty tells me to have a youth group. I don't care what you think or what you feel. I have to obey the vision God gave me. Amen. She hung up the phone and to this day has never stepped foot in the church again. Now what happened? Pastor didn't change the message. Pastor didn't change what he was saying. They got offended because they had a submission and an honor problem. Would it have been wrong to say, Pastor, why don't we have a youth group? Because God didn't call me to do it. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to be praying about that. Praise God, pray about it, absolutely. But no, this is what I think. Dishonor. See, honor would have taken care of that offense problem. Amen. Amen. If they would have honored Jesus in Mark chapter 6, it would have taken care of their offended problem. But they did not honor him. Hallelujah. I remember talking about obeying. There was a young girl from Olean. She went to St. Bonaventure. And I was actually kind of surprised just by the way they at first were coming to the church. They got faithful. Her and another friend from St. Bonaventure. I mean, they plugged in. A couple college girls were coming to the hotel and to hear the word. And, I mean, they both were sending me emails of how thankful they were and how blessed they were and how, you know, they're in school and it's hard to stay faithful in school with all the things that are around them in an ungodly school and things like that. And I just encourage them with the word. And they're sending me emails. Pastor, we're just so blessed, you know. Well, then she said, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So she called me. She said, I got to tell you about my boyfriend. I said, go ahead, you know. And she said, he's an atheist. He wants nothing to do with God. And then she said this. I about fell out of my chair. She said, but I want to marry him. I said, don't you dare marry him. You say, oh, you're just lording over. No, spiritually speaking, the Bible says, do not be yoked together with an unbeliever. Your life will not work out well if you do. The Bible gives us strict qualifications of who we should join our life to. And she's telling me he wants nothing to do with God and I want to marry him. I said, you're crazy. Well, she went from telling me how great I was. After that conversation, I never saw her again. What's the problem? An obeying and submission problem. Not just to me, but to the Word of God. Yeah. Now, you can do whatever you want. If she decided to marry him, whatever, she'd still come to the church. She could still be faithful. I'd still love on her. But it's my job, if she comes to me, to tell her that's wrong. Yeah. But no honor towards what the Word of God said or the shepherd. Man, just trying to spare her. Yeah, go ahead. Link yourself to an atheist. See how much fun that is when you want to go to church and he don't. Go ahead. Link yourself to him. Hook right up. It's a yoke. He'll drag you right under. It's the truth. Thank God Pastor Mike preaches the word to me. Thank God he'll stand up in the midst of a world that's going against this stuff and actually preach the truth. Hallelujah. Imagine this now. He said to do it with joy. Imagine you going to see a personal trainer. You're super out of shape and you need to get in shape. Your personal trainer, I mean, they're the picture of fitness. Guy or girl, whatever. I mean, they're defined. They just look like, man, they know what they're doing. And you get there and you're completely out of shape, you know. Just walking through the door, you're huffing and puffing. And they say, hey. You say, well, man, I'd sure love to get rid of my belly. I'd sure love to get rid of the fat under my arms. I'd sure love to get rid of my rear end. Okay, well, here you go. Do this. I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. The trainer's going to look at him like, oh. The shepherd who's spiritually trained, who has victory all over his life, all the time, tells people stuff. I don't want to do that. Who are you? Out of order. It's out of order. Praise God. Learn in honor and submission. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. I remember Pastor Tim, you know, to be honorable to him, because my thoughts ran wild, you know, to have to now obey and submit to the one that I always thought I was better than at things, and not, you know, and he thought he was better at me and things, and he was at things, and I was better at him at things, and he did stupid things that I called him on. But now if he was doing stupid things, I can't call him on it. But you know what it is? It's a sign of your heart. It's a sign of your heart. When you're told to do something that you don't agree with or you don't want to do it, how do you carry it out? It's a sign of your heart. Amen? Amen. God didn't put you with everybody that you're going to agree with. God doesn't link you with people that are going to absolutely always tickle your ears with what you want to hear or do things the way that you think they should be done. But when God puts you with people that are over, your job is to honor, obey, and submit. And what are you doing? How are you doing that? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to go on, but I'm just going to unhook right there. And we'll pick this up. I appreciate your hunger for the word, but it seems good in my heart to drop this here. Now again, don't run into the ditch. Say, that pastor, talking about everybody obeying him. I'm talking spiritual things and within this church. I don't care where you go to lunch today. I don't care where you go on vacation or what movie you watch or this or that, what school your kids go to. If you ask me my opinions on things, I'll give you the word on them and what the Bible says and the best counsel I can give you. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in these walls and spiritual matters. Amen? So don't you dare twist my words. Don't twist them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. We're so grateful and thankful for the Bible. Lord, I just think about David, if he would have rose up and killed Saul or not been honorable, the promotion that you had for him, Father, would have been hindered. And Lord, I just thank you. I look at Jesus and his honor and his obedience and his submission to your plan. Lord, if there's anybody that we can look at that submitted to your plan that would have been the hardest, it would have been Jesus. In fact, Father, we see how tough it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating blood. The Bible says he was so stressed out, he was sweating drops of blood. And he even said out of his own mouth, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. He said, but not my will, which his will would have been for that cup to be taken away, not my will, but your will be done. He submitted to the plan of God when he didn't agree with it. He agreed with the plan of God, don't misunderstand, but his flesh didn't. His mind sure didn't want to do that. His mind didn't want to go through that. His mind didn't want to take on, and his body didn't want to take on what he had to take on. But for the greater good, he submitted to the ways of God. Father, your word says if we submit to you, it puts us in a position to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. If we're going to be prideful people that are always bucking the system, always trying to get our opinions back, talking behind people's back and backstabbing people and getting our opinions out there, Father, it's going to hinder us. So Lord, I pray that everybody receive this message today and start working honor into their life. That their job is to come here. If they're called here and I'm their pastor, their job is to come here to be a supply and to be a blessing, to be honorable, to help the plan of God go forward. So Father, I thank you for putting me with such wonderful people. Lord, I'm never, ever foolish enough to think that I can do this on my own or that this is a one-man show. If we're going to fulfill your plan, we need people to fulfill their roles. We need people to come alongside and to hold up the vision and to help the minister and to help different things in the church. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Out of respect for everybody else, we don't want to embarrass anybody. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is yes. And the reason being is because I qualify for heaven. You know, sometimes to get into the final of an Olympic event, you know, they have qualifiers for the 100-yard dash or whatever. There's a couple qualifying rounds. Well, to get to that final, you got to have the right qualifying time. Well, it's the same thing. To get into heaven, you got to have some qualifiers. The first qualification to get into heaven has nothing to do with church attendance, has nothing to do with your good works outweighing your bad works, and has nothing to do with how much money you've given or not given. The first qualification of getting into heaven is, number one, believing in Jesus. believing that he died and rose again. The second qualification of heaven, hallelujah, is receiving Jesus. Because the devil believes in Jesus. The devil knows he died and rose again. He saw it. But the second qualification is what the devil will never do. He'll never receive Jesus into his heart. He'll never accept the ways of God. The second thing to do is, if you believe in Jesus, is to receive him. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with your church attendance. It doesn't have anything to do with jumping through religious hoops. If you believe in Jesus and you want a relationship with him, and you want to know that you're going to heaven, that's available to you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. We won't have anybody come forward, stand up, or say anything on their own. But if you're here this morning, you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I know for sure I do believe in Jesus, and I'd like to accept him into my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just raise your hand nice and high if you want to receive the Lord for the very first time in your life? If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. But there is a calling out to his name. It doesn't happen automatically. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus here this morning? Anybody at all? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Before we close, anybody? Father, I don't see any hands this morning, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice is already saved. If that's not the case, and somebody listening in this room or by live stream right now, or on the archives in the future, is not born again, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And Father, I pray that they would accept Jesus and that free gift, and they would see heaven someday. Let's just thank him and worship him for what we received today. Father, we bless you. We're so grateful. Father, we just want your way. We're not trying to promote a man's way or a ministry way. We want the Bible's way. We want to look biblical. We want to be more like you, Father. We want to be more like your plan, more like your will. That's where the victory, that's where the power is. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me tell you the honorable thing to do here. If anything in this honor message that rubbed you the wrong way, or you heard something say, man, I don't know, that doesn't sound right, you know what the honorable thing to do would be? To come to me and say, Pastor, I heard you say this. Would you explain this more? I don't understand. What did you mean by that? The dishonorable thing to do is to just start talking bad about me, talking bad about the message, and not coming and just disappearing. That's not honorable. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, what about people in your own life that have told you they love you and care about you? What would it do to you if all of a sudden they disappeared without a call, without a meeting, without nothing? It would break your heart. Don't do that to me. I love people. I love you so much. Just come with me. If you don't agree with what the word says, that's your prerogative. I'm not going to force you to. But that's the honorable thing to do. Amen? Because sometimes things can get twisted. Sometimes things, I maybe don't speak clear enough. I'm not the most eloquent speaker. But I do know this. Nothing in this church has ever fell from my mouth that's not straight out of this book. Amen? I am a professional plagiarizer. Amen. Don't forget, there's food in the old sanctuary after service. And Wednesday night, 6:30, we'll see you. You are dismissed.